He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday. It is the June 10th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson. Hey, we finally got some direction to the market today. And it's a good direction. You got the Dow right now up 233 points, which puts it at 34,673, very close to an all-time high. Meanwhile, over at the NASDAQ, it's also having a good day. It's up about 100 points right now. And the NASDAQ, actually 110 points. The NASDAQ now is above 14,000 again. Now, it's closing in on its all-time high. Whether or not it's going to halt there, because that is now resistance, technical resistance that it will be running into. There's always something, right, that it will be running into soon. The small caps are not participating at all today. That's kind of unusual. The Russell 2000 is up 4 points to 2,331. The S&P 500, new all-time high today. Ring that bell. Hit that gong, 28,000 or 44,247. It's up 28 points today. That's your S&P 500. Crude oil staying above 70. Crude oil has been a good sector here over the last several weeks. Oil is up 53 cents to $70.49. You know, oil has come a long, long ways over the last year. Gold is up down 60 cents, $18.95. Silver's up a couple of cents to 28.02. The 10-year, under 1.5. Now, that's support right there, 1.49. That's the support level. You would think it would bounce off of there. And last but not least, Bitcoin is back to 38,000 with a move up of about $2,800 per coin today. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. I will be working on the newsletter today for this weekend. You know, earnings season is over. We're now looking ahead to the next earnings season. And you know what? It's not that far off. This quarter will end in just 3 weeks. And then we start the whole parade all over again, the quarterly earnings season. The earnings for this quarter, the second quarter of 2021, which can be compared with the second quarter of 2020, which is very much a COVID quarter, right? Very much a COVID quarter. Earnings are supposedly going to be up 61% this quarter versus the same quarter last year, 61%. So we're looking for a huge, huge gain in earnings versus last year's COVID quarter. This is the quarter last year that was most impacted by COVID. So it just makes sense that it would also be the quarter that we're going to see the biggest rise in earnings with people getting back to work. Very dull day in the market yesterday. Not much happening at all. The oil patch was about the only bright spot. Interest rates coming down, that's impacting the financials. It's helping the tech stocks a little bit. We're currently under 1.50, which we haven't seen for a long time. I mean, we got clear up to 1.9. We were pushing 2% there for a while. And you've seen a pretty big bond rally here over the last 4 to 6 weeks or so. And today we're seeing new all-time highs on the S&P 500 and maybe the Dow. I think the Dow's got about another 100 to hit a new high, but S&P 500 definitely hitting a new all-time high today. Well, today was that big inflation report that we've been waiting for. The Consumer Price Index, the CPI, continues strong gains in May. May Consumer Price Index 0.6. That's pretty hot. That's very hot. That's like, if you annualize that, that's like a 6 to 7% inflation rate. But, you know, you're comparing a very unusual quarter here, a usual quarter with a very unusual quarter. Core CPI comes in at 0.7%. It obviously was not as hot as expected. Otherwise, you might have seen a sell-off in the market with fear of an interest rate hike. And what the market is telling us here, the Dow's up 175 right now. It's given up about 75 points here in the last 20 minutes or so. The NASDAQ has also given up a little bit. It's up 98 right now. It was up about 120. But what the market is saying, well, I don't think that inflation was hot enough here to really warrant the Fed getting nervous and doing an interest rate hike. That's what the market is saying. Jobless claims come in, about where expected, but we're under 400,000. That's a good deal. We're currently at 376,000 on the jobless claims. I've had a chance to look at maybe a couple hundred charts here this morning. I'm seeing strength in the oil stocks and chemical stocks once again. ExxonMobil, Westlake Chemical, etc. I'm seeing a little bit of strength. I continue to see strength in the payment stocks like Visa and PayPal. We had a big Restoration Hardware had a huge earnings report. That stock is bounding higher this morning. And also a little bit of strength here in the steel stocks. Yesterday we had one of the biggest winners in the market, percentage-wise, which was Cleveland-Cliffs, CLF. Had a huge bounce yesterday, and it's having another pretty nice gain here today. And we're seeing a little action in the pharmaceutical stocks. You know, Biogen had that big news this past week on the Alzheimer's drug. Very controversial. In fact, one of the members of the advisory committee quit over the whole deal. He didn't like it. He didn't think that that Biogen drug does that much to be approved at $46,000 a year for treatment. But it did get approved, and he did quit. The financial ETFs, financial stocks, been a little bit under pressure with the falling 10-year Treasury yield. But it just seems to me that the course of least resistance going forward is going to be higher interest rates. The bond market will probably go back into that rising rate bond market selling off mode. But for now, you're seeing a little bit of a rally in the bond market, which has taken the 10-year under 1.5%. And like I say, we haven't seen that for a while. Now that helps the tech stocks. And I have seen some action in the high growth stocks, the high growth area, the Cathie Wood stratosphere, the ARK stratosphere. Not a lot of action, but at least some signs of life. Would I go running back into Etsy? No. Would I go running back into Fiverr? No. Upwork? No. Peloton? No. Zoom Info? No. Teladoc? No. Hell no. Anyways, that's my thoughts there on those work-from-home, high-growth stratosphere stocks. Now, this meme issue, what are we going to do about this? It's really kind of a problem. I mean, it's stocks trading that have horrible fundamentals, whether it's AMC, whether it's BlackBerry, whether it's GameStop, whether it's Clover Health, whether it's Context Logic or Clean Energy or Geo Group, and even Wendy's joining in, throwing a little bit of chili onto the fire of these meme stocks. It kind of all began with GameStop back in January, and the strategy was let's create a giant, massive short squeeze. But now it's kind of morphed into let's gang up on some stocks as a group here, Wall Street Bets on Reddit, and let's run these stocks with our collective buying power. Well, in a way, I'm for it, okay? Why should the mutual fund or the hedge funds have the ability to go in with guns blazing into stocks and drive them higher. In a way, Kathy Wood does it with her ARK group. I can usually see what she's buying on a daily basis just by the volume going into a lot of her stocks, which are pretty well known. So what's wrong with a bunch of guys and gals getting together and creating their own little group to take on Wall Street? In a way, I'm for it. But there's another side of me that says I feel sorry for these younger investors that are buying stocks without any fundamentals whatsoever. Because eventually stocks come back to fundamentals, okay? So I got a mixed feeling about it. But what is the SEC going to do about it? More on that when we come back. Gen Z investors, this is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show, with the Dow up 171 right now, the 10-year at 1.49, the S&P up 22. We're up about a half a percent across the board, half a percent. You know, these big triple-digit gains from a percentage basis are not as big as they were when the Dow was 20,000. A half a percent on 20,000, you know, was 100 points. Now it takes a lot bigger move than that for the big percentage gains. NASDAQ up just under 100 points right now. Okay, I want to look into this Reddit meme trade. You know, this is a brand new phrase. I've never heard of meme trading until really early this year. And it's transforming into something new as retail traders continue to make waves in the broader markets. And as I was talking about, they pool their money together, their collective research or sentiment, lending credence to a new investment strategy, which basically revolves around going after highly shorted stocks, right? Taking on Wall Street. And they pick on some favorites. The hedge funds don't see it coming. The hedge funds get blindsided. And recently, more and more stocks have been added to their list. The old meme stock list that headline favorites, AMC, BlackBerry, GameStop, is changing, okay? Over the last few sessions, we've seen big run-ups and falls in names like Clover Health, Context Logic, which is Wish, W-I-S-H, Clean Energy Fuels, C-L-N-E, and Geo Group. Geo Group is the private prison stock. And even Wendy's, the fast food chain, was added to the group yesterday. Now, I'm waiting for an ETF to come out with the symbol meme. I would think it would just be a matter of time. But this whole meme thing began with GameStop back in January. That was one of the most astronomical runs that I've ever seen in a stock. And it was partly built on the strategy of short squeeze, partly a gamble. Well, I think it's more than partly a gamble. I think it's really a gamble. Partly a middle finger to Wall Street, little guy versus the suits. The strategy was an outgrowth of the you only live once trade, YOLO, which was popularized on the Wall Street Bets forum to reach financial freedom overnight. Okay, now, there's where I have the big problem, all right? How many schemes have come along over the last 21, 22 years since I've been in the business that were supposedly financial freedom strategy, okay? And they show the guy retiring from his job, sitting on a chair at his pool or next to the beach or wherever, and just trading on his little laptop. I remember in the early days when I first got on radio, there was a guy in San Diego. I won't mention his name, but he was a penny stock promoter. And all of his commercials were about achieving financial freedom, you know, creating the kind of wealth that you deserve, creating the kind of lifestyle that you've always wanted through buying penny stocks. And, of course, he was getting paid by the companies that printed up the penny stock stock certificates and sold them. And when he would go on the radio pumping the stock, you would have the owners, the insiders, selling to these people that were buying the stock that he was promoting. And I said to myself, this is not going to end well. And it didn't. There was another guy on the radio airwaves at the same time, back when I was first getting started on the radio, that was a former taxi cab driver. And he talked all about, what do you call that? Channel stocks that trade in a channel between $1 and $2. He says it's simple. You buy it at $1, you sell it at $2. You buy it back at $1, you sell it at $2, and you get rich over time. And his other one was selling calls, buying options. He had about 4 or 5. He called it the cash machine. He ended up in prison. That was another one I said, this isn't going to end well. Then there was a guy on Saturdays in San Diego. I listened to his show a couple of times. And I go, this doesn't pass the smell test to me. This sounds like a total scam. This sounds like a Ponzi scheme to me. And shortly thereafter, he was arrested and is serving time somewhere, I think down in the San Diego big metropolitan prison there, federal prison. Now, Wall Street Bets approaches that, but at the same time, there's nobody really making money off of this by promoting it, right? It's a bunch of guys that have, gals that have loosely kind of formed this whole thing. There is a guy down in South America that is kind of the leader of it all. He's not an investment advisor as far as I know. So, you know, I don't see what you're going to do about going in and arresting somebody over this. A lot of people, you're hearing the, here's the problem. You're hearing a lot of the people that are making a lot of money overnight. They've had this kid on many times with GameStop and how much money he's made, like $21 million. But what they don't talk about is all the people that have lost a lot of money in this type of trading. And one of the big problems is, I think where they're probably going to direct their regulatory efforts will be at the social media platforms where they talk these stocks up. I think maybe that they'll crack down there on some of that. In fact, SEC Chair Gary Gensler yesterday was talking about the meme trade, and he repeated his desire to look into new rules surrounding Wall Street gamification, because that's what it is. I mean, they've made it a casino game in these few stocks. The practice of some trading platforms to add prompts that encourage more activity. Echoing statements from earlier in the week, Gensler noted that he has asked the SEC staff to review these practices and suggest potential new rules. Now, I'm seeing some guys in my industry get caught up in this and buying some of these stocks that are on the Reddit list. Workhorse, Wendy's, Virgin Galactic, Beyond Meat. My advice, I would not get involved in it. You take that for what it's worth. I've seen these schemes before. They don't end well. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back with some sectors and stocks to talk about. And welcome back here to the second half. Well, there is breaking news on a subject I just talked about. GameStop is warning of an SEC probe into trading. Yeah, you know, it's just not a good thing. On one hand, I can see, you know, having open markets and the freedom to do what you want to do, but in a way, they are pumping stocks, okay? I talked about a guy who actually was getting paid by the companies to pump stocks on the radio. That's one thing. But I don't know, making up things and rumors and whatnot on social media, I think that should be watched very, very carefully, too. You know, a lot of times these stocks are just trading on rumors that somebody just throws out there. That's pretty irresponsible. And funny that during the break here, GameStop warns of SEC probe into trading. Well, the other subject these days, obviously, are the cryptocurrencies. And I've talked about Coinbase, which I thought was one of the most ridiculous IPOs. Not that they went public, that's fine. But the valuation given to it was just unbelievable. It was mind-boggling for that thing to go public at $60 billion. Well, now it's down to $47 billion, and it got a sell rating yesterday because of really the lack of a moat of other people coming into doing what they're doing, allowing people to trade cryptocurrencies on their platform. And today, Interactive Brokers announced that they're going to start cryptocurrency trading in coming months. Interactive Broker plans to start trading cryptocurrencies on its platform by the end of summer. Okay, customers certainly are asking for crypto trading, and we expect to be ready to offer it to them by the end of summer. So now you've got several coming to the fore. You've got eToro, which is FTCV. You've got Coinbase, COIN. And now you've got Interactive Brokers, IBKR. And then there's another one that just came public, too, that I can't think of. You know, people ask me all the time, what do you think of the cryptocurrencies? I say, you know what? I would just avoid them. Now, I sat down next to a guy yesterday. I went out a little dinner, you know, and sat down next to a couple. They were from Clemson, South Carolina, home of the Clemson Tigers, where will be throwing the ball for Jacksonville this year, coached by Urban Meyer, Trevor Lawrence. That should be exciting for all you Jacksonville folks. But what question do you think he asked me? What do you think of Dogecoin? I said, well, you know, how have you done? He says, I lost my, you know what? I can't say it on the air. Well, that's what I think of Dogecoin. And, you know, I mean, you're getting these rallies here. Now you've got ETFs like DAPP and Block, BOLK, and BITQ and all these others. And they are rallying once again. But now you've got a lot of countries. You know, China has many, many times mentioned a crackdown on crypto, on a digital currency mining, Bitcoin mining. Now, I had my nephew here over this past weekend. He's a PhD. He's a professor at Harvard. And his good friend is also a PhD from Stanford. And he was telling me, I know this other kid, he says, he's not a kid anymore, in their 40s. He says, my buddy's got like 10 servers in his basement that are mining Bitcoin. I said, what kind of investment is that? Well, it's a pretty stiff investment, right? I mean, servers don't come cheap. And they're running full-time, burning electricity, right? And I don't know. I wouldn't touch it myself. Okay, I don't have a good feeling. I don't think it's going to end well. Now, this company, MicroStrategy, is an interesting company because they're borrowing money. They're the first company that I know of to float bonds to buy more Bitcoin. S&P Global Ratings assigns a CCC+ issuer credit rating to MicroStrategy. That's 7 levels below investment grade. MicroStrategy is floating a $500 million issue of senior secured notes so that they can buy more Bitcoin. And they're listing it on their balance sheet. Well, S&P 500 says if Bitcoin drops below $6,000 per coin over the next 12 months, they would lower the rating on MicroStrategy. And right now, they've got it at CCC+. Okay, and let's see how MicroStrategy is trading today. MSTR. MSTR, oh, it's up a little bit, but consider that MicroStrategy in February of this year was $1,315 per share. And right now it's $509 per share. It's lost more than half of its value since February. And now they're floating bonds so that they can buy more Bitcoin. Well, there you go. Okay. Now, here's a new thing also today that I have not seen yet. LCP Group becomes the first firm to cancel a SPAC IPO since 2019, a SPAC mania fades. Well, I guess the reason I bring this up is because I see this happening to these other two crazes that are going on right now. I warned about speculation and all of these really, really sketchy companies going public via the SPAC. And they have done very poorly. They don't have a whole lot of fundamentals. They got the money with $300 million, $200 million. They wrote the check. They got shares. Many of them have cashed in their shares, and the retail investor is left holding the bag. LCP Group on Wednesday canceled a $200 million IPO SPAC, reportedly becoming the first firm to nix a U.S. SPAC initial public offering in nearly 2 years. That said, they said, we hereby submit this letter to notify the SEC of our withdrawal of our registration statement. Well, SPAC mania definitely is slowing down. Like I said, I was adding 10 SPACs a day to my list of new offerings. What's going to become of all of these SPACs? Well, you can watch the ETF SPAC, S-P-A-K, to see what becomes of it. It went from 35 down to 22, and now it's back up to 26. So it's about 25% off of its high. SPAC IPOs dropped from 298 in Q1. Okay, there were 298 during the first 3 months of this year. So far in Q2, which ends in 3 weeks, there's only 48. Another 290 SPACs have filed for U.S. IPOs but have not completed them and more than likely will never go public. The other thing that I've noticed is, you know, the SPACs were popping before on their IPO date. Not anymore. We're not seeing those big pops, and you've got new SEC guidance ordering financial firms to account for SPAC warrants as liabilities instead of equities. All told, the IPOC SPAC Index, which tracks U.S. special purpose acquisition companies' post-IPO performance, has shed some 20% since peaking earlier this year. But here's the kicker. The worst could be yet to come. Any new SPAC that goes public these days will face a lot of competition, he said, for merger deals. A lot of sponsors that have filed to go public are going to have second thoughts and call off the IPO rather than risk losing millions and millions of dollars. So there you go. SPAC mania, speculation. Okay, let's see what else. Inflation hurting Campbell's Soup. We're hearing that a lot. We heard it yesterday from a company that uses a lot of steel. Steel and labor prices soaring. And I guess at Campbell's Soup, you got potato, carrots, peas, and the like spiking, hurting Campbell's Soup's margins. When we come back, we'll have our featured stock of the day. Dow up just 78 right now, pretty much giving up the ghost here, up just 0.25% right now. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back.
You got to go where you want to go and do what you want to do.
And welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, I want to compare two stocks, okay, in this last quarter of the show. The first is a meme stock, and the second is a value stock. Okay, there's a stock in the news today that reported earnings yesterday. They beat by 38 cents. They beat on revenue. The name of the company is GameStop. Okay, they reported earnings yesterday. Company headquartered in Grapevine, Texas. I'll bet you didn't know that. Grapevine, Texas. Stock getting slammed today, down $39 per share or 13%. Now, let's just look at the fundamentals really quickly, or lack thereof of fundamentals with GameStop. Price to sales, 4.2. The company has lost money for the last 3 years to 2021. Actually, they've lost money for they're expected to lose money this year. They're expected to lose money next year. And they're expected to lose money the year after that. In fact, this year they're expected to lose $3 per share. Next year they're expected to lose $1 per share. And the year after that, 58 cents per share. The market cap of this company is $19 billion. They operate 4,806 GameStop stores around the country. Price to book value, 45.2. The market's trading at about 3 or 4 times book value. Price to cash flow, which I've been saying should be somewhere in the low to mid-teens. The price to cash flow on GameStop is 173 times cash flow. Now, get this. Over the last 12 months, the S&P 500 is up 32%. 32%. GameStop is up 6,000%. The market's up 32%. Let's see. Furthermore, GameStop, we can't do a valuation on it. You'd have to basically value the cash flow. I keep coming up with a valuation of about $15 to $20 no matter which way I do it, whether it's on sales, whether it's on cash flow. There aren't earnings. We can't do an earnings-based valuation. And a book value valuation does not really fit here, okay? I come up with about, let's be generous, give it a $20 valuation. The stock right now is trading at $263 per share. So this is an exact, this is the poster child of the meme craze, taking a stock with really lousy fundamentals and running it up to a $19 billion company. Should that be regulated or should that be allowed? I'll leave it up to you. Now let's do a real stock, okay? Let's compare. This is not a meme stock. This is a stock that currently meets my value criteria. Westlake Chemical, which is headquartered in Houston, Texas. Okay, we got two Texas stocks here. Westlake is hitting almost just a few bucks from its all-time high. It has a market cap of $13 billion. But now let's compare the fundamentals of Westlake versus GameStop. Westlake's price to sales, 1.1 6.6. Okay, GameStop was three times that. I guess renting video games is a much more highly profitable business than manufacturing basic chemicals, polymers, fabricated plastic products for consumers and industrial markets. The price-to-book value on Westlake is two times book value. What was GameStop again, 78? Let's see. It was 45 times book value. Westlake WLK, two times book value. Price to cash flow, which I think the low teens, mid-teens at the most. Boy, the market's going to go negative here pretty soon. We're up just 12 on the Dow right now. Price to book or price to cash flow on Welk, WLK, Westlake Chemical, 8.7. Forward PE, 14. The estimated growth rate, much greater than that. Price to sale or PEG ratio, I have it at 0.3. It might be closer to 0.5 or 0.6, but it's under 1. So I'm just saying, here's a stock with real fundamentals, okay? And other stocks that are just being hyped on social media and people sending out rumors and all kinds of stuff with very horrible, horrible underlying fundamentals. I mean, the biggest reason that all of these meme players piled into GameStop was because of all of the short interest that had been built by the suits on Wall Street. So that's basically the battle raging today. Me, I'm going to just stick with fundamentals and stay away from all of that garbage that's going on. But it definitely has become a big, big issue on Wall Street. And it looks like the SEC closing in fact, announcing today an investigation into GameStop trading. All right, well, I'll be working on real stocks today, I hope, for the newsletter this weekend. It's the Best Stocks Now newsletter. I'll be sending that thing out Saturday morning, late morning probably. That's my goal. We're also going to have a lot of new Saturday shows in different markets, one-hour kind of highlight of the week shows. I've been working on that all week. I've been very busy trading this week. Bought some new stocks. Those are going to show up in the newsletter. I'm going to update the macro outlook. That's the most important part of the entire newsletter, is that macro outlook and the S&P 500 target price. That's been my indicator for the last 13 years, since the last bear market back in 08 and 09, and I still find it to be the very, very best indicator of all if you're looking at the overall market. If you want to get the newsletter, I give out 2 free weeks. You can see what our strategies have produced in the portfolios that I run. You can get the newsletter by going to our website at GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. And if you'd like to, if you like what you hear and you say, you know what, I'm just ready to talk to these guys. I'm sick of passive investing. I'm sick of money managers who, you know, I ask them about a stock, they've never even heard of it before. I'm in a bunch of mutual funds and whatnot. Well, you can give us a call, set up an appointment. Maybe we'd be right for you. You can go to 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. This is Bill Gunderson. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.